Good morning and welcome to the Elder Law Report, hosted by Life Care Planning and Elder Law Attorney Michael Weinraub. Michael Weinraub, the South Jersey's foremost authority in the important areas of elder law, Medicaid, and estate and life care planning. You can reach the Elder Law offices of Michael Weinraub anytime by phone at 609-823-4900 and on the web at their informative website, www.elderlawyerforyou.com. And now, please join us for the Elder Law Report and welcome Life Care Planning Attorney Michael Weinraub.
Good morning and welcome to the Elder Law Report. I'm Attorney Michael Weinraub and it's my pleasure to talk to you about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Today's topic is going to be a variety of issues covering the most asked questions. Let's begin with, you want to leave your assets to your children, but you want to know, is there any way to protect those assets from a future divorce or from your child's creditors? Money left to children can disappear for a variety of reasons: divorce, bankruptcy, litigation, or bad investments, just to name a few. One way to protect the family money is by the use of a trust. Let's deal with the example of Mary and John. Mary and John have four adult children, all with varying degrees of financial success. Dennis, the oldest and most successful financially, has no need for financial support from his parents. Judy, next in line, unfortunately has been through a terrible divorce and is struggling to raise her son on her own. Paula and Frank are both married, but their marriages have had their ups and downs. Paula's husband has been known to invest their limited resources into failed get-rich-quick schemes. Frank has just borrowed a lot of money to start his own dentistry practice. Parents never stop worrying about their children, and Mary and John are no exception. They are worried about more divorces, about whether Judy will have enough money, whether Frank's business will flourish, or whether he will be sued by a patient. They are also worried about there being enough money for their grandchildren. So what can Mary and John do to make sure what assets they leave actually helps their children and their grandchildren? The answer is to use a trust in their estate planning. Trusts can continue after the parent's death, through the life of the children, and, if the grantor chooses, during the life of the grandchildren as well. The funds are left for the benefit of the children and grandchildren, but limits are placed on access to the trust funds. The assets are there if needed, but cannot be spent down on a whim. This restriction provides the necessary protection. The funds in the trust are protected from creditors in the event of bankruptcy. Like creditors, plaintiffs in lawsuits cannot invade the trust. Funds left for the benefit of Frank will not be available if he is ever sued for dental malpractice. Also, the funds will not be a marital asset in the event of a divorce. A properly prepared trust will protect your family from creditors, liability claimants, and a future divorce. An independent trustee can protect the trust beneficiary from bad choices, whether they are risky investments or foolhardy spending. While parents can't protect their children from bad luck, they can create a cushion for them if it occurs. Some trust beneficiaries will object to not having complete control and access to the funds. This is the trade-off. Do the benefits outweigh the disadvantages? You will have to decide what is best for your situation. Next question involves having a disabled child. How can I best provide for their future well-being? One of the major concerns for parents with children with disabilities is how to provide for their financial future. Here are some legal tips to consider. Buy enough life insurance. A parent is irreplaceable, but someone will have to fill in. In all likelihood, that person or family will have to pay for at least some services the parent had provided when able. If the estate is not large enough for this purpose, it can be made large enough through life insurance proceeds. Premiums for second-to-die insurance, which pays off only when the second of the two parents passes away, can be surprisingly low. Set up a special needs trust. Any funds left for a disabled child, whether from an estate or the proceeds of a life insurance policy, should be held in trust for his or her benefit. leaving money for anyone with a disability jeopardizes public benefits. Many people with disabilities cannot manage funds, especially large amounts. Some families disinherit disabled children, relying on their siblings to care for them. This approach is fraught with potential problems. Siblings can get sued, they can get divorced, they can disagree on their responsibilities or use the funds for their own benefit. It can also cause tax problems for siblings. The best approach is setting up a trust fund set aside for the disabled child, which is known as a special needs trust. Prepare a will and appoint a guardian in the will. While the will and the appointment of a guardian is important for anyone with minor children, it is doubly so if the child is disabled. Finding the right guardian can be difficult. In some cases, the care needs of the child may be so demanding that he or she will need a different guardian from his or her siblings. The parents need to make these determinations while they can. The will is the vehicle used for the appointment of a guardian. Have a care plan. All parents caring for disabled children should write down what any successor caregiver would need to know about the child and what the parent's wishes are for his or her care. For example, should the child be in a group home, live with a sibling, or be on his or her own? Usually the parent knows best, but they need to pass on the information. They can explain what helps, what hurts, what scares their children, and what reassures them. A copy of the statement or letter can also be kept in the attorney's files with the parent's estate planning documents. Coordinate with other family members. Even a carefully developed plan can be sabotaged by a well-meaning relative who leaves money directly to the child with a disability. If a special needs trust is created for the benefit of the child, grandparents and other family members should be told about it so that they can direct any bequest they may wish to leave to that child through the trust. You can receive our free monthly email elder law newsletter by calling our office at 609-823-4900 or by visiting our website www.elderlawyerforyou.com. That's ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. We'll be right back to continue our discussion of the most asked questions after this short message.
The law firm of Michael Weinraub concentrates in the area of elder law. The practice involves the use of a life care plan. The life care plan places special emphasis on issues surrounding a long life. Michael Weinraub works with seniors and their families who are overwhelmed or confused by all the decisions they have to make planning for their future. He offers a free monthly email newsletter featuring various elder law articles, which you can obtain either by going to his website at www.elderlawyerforyou.com, emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900. You can also obtain a free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900.
Attorney Michael Weinraub back with you on the Elder Law Report. And it's my pleasure to talk to you each Sunday morning about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning, so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Let's continue our discussion on today's topic, the most asked questions. What are the benefits of prearranging our funeral plans? Most people avoid planning for their funerals and instead leave the decisions to their loved ones. Unfortunately, due to emotional distress, waiting to make these decisions until immediately after death can be unnecessarily expensive. According to AARP and the Federal Trade Commission, Consumer Guide for Funerals, funeral and burial costs can easily exceed $10,000. Most consumers have no problem haggling over the price of a new car, but never think about negotiating the price of a funeral. Compounding the problem is the feeling that the price spent is reflective of their feelings for the deceased. To help resolve these issues, an increasing number of people are planning their own funerals. It is important to investigate the options and not let yourself be pressured into buying goods and services you do not want. You must learn to be an informed consumer. Shopping around for funeral services can save you thousands of dollars. Do not assume that a funeral will cost the same no matter where you go. By federal law, the funeral provider must give consumers a general price list of all goods and services. Typically included would be costs for the initial conference, consultations, paperwork, and overhead. This is known as the basic services fee and is added to the cost of the funeral. There is a wide variation in the pricing of the basic services fee. The price list should include costs for transportation of the body, care of the body, including embalming, and use of the funeral home for viewing, wake, visitation, and funeral or memorial ceremony. It should also include alternative arrangements, such as cremation, and optional services such as flowers, use of the limousine, and a casket. AARP recommends obtaining price lists from at least 3 funeral homes before making a selection. You may wish to make arrangements in advance, but not pay for them in advance. Keep in mind that prices will change over time. You can put your preferences in writing by including it in your letter of last instructions and giving copies to your family members and your attorney, as well as keeping a copy in a convenient and accessible location. Make sure the funeral home is licensed and has a good reputation in the community. The National Funeral Directors Association suggests that you call and speak with the funeral director to determine their professionalism and to make sure you are comfortable with them. It should be noted that embalming is not required when the person will be buried shortly after death, and refrigeration is acceptable under state law as an alternative to embalming. Embalming is strictly a temporary cosmetic and preservative process. Other ways to save money involve comparing the cost of caskets. Sealed caskets cost hundreds of dollars more than unsealed caskets and do not preserve a body. A funeral provider may not refuse or charge a fee to handle a casket that you purchased somewhere else. Finally, you do not have to buy the whole bundle of services that make up a package. Consumers have the right to pick and choose which services are right for them. What long-term care benefits are available to veterans and their surviving spouses? Long-term care costs can add up quickly. For veterans and surviving spouses of veterans who need in-home care or are in a nursing home, help may be available. The Veterans Association has an underused pension benefit called Aid and Attendance that provides money to those who need assistance performing everyday tasks. Even veterans whose income is above the legal limit for a VA pension may qualify for the Aid and Attendance benefit if they have large medical expenses for which they do not receive reimbursement. Aid in Attendance is a pension benefit, which means it is available to veterans who served at least 90 days with at least one day during wartime. The veteran does not have to have service-related disabilities to qualify. Veterans or surviving spouses are eligible if they require the aid of another person to perform an everyday action, such as bathing, feeding, dressing, or going to the bathroom. This includes individuals who are bedridden, blind, or residing in a nursing home. To qualify, the veteran or spouse must have less than $80,000 in assets, excluding the home and vehicle. In addition, the veteran's income must be less than the maximum annual pension rate, which for a single veteran is $18,234. For a veteran with one dependent, it's $21,615. For a single surviving spouse, it's $11,715, and for a surviving spouse with one dependent, it's $13,976. Income does not include welfare benefits or Supplemental Security Income, also known as SSI. It also does not include unreimbursed medical expenses actually paid by the veteran or by a member of his or her family. This can include Medicare, the Medigap or Medicare Supplement Plan, and long-term care insurance premiums, over-the-counter medications taken at a doctor's recommendation, long-term care costs, such as the nursing home fees, the cost of an in-home attendant that provides some medical or nursing services, and the cost of an assisted living facility. These expenses must be unreimbursed. In other words, insurance must not pay the expenses. The expenses should also be recurring, meaning that they should recur every month. How does the aid in attendance benefit work? Let me give you an example. The amount a person receives depends on his or her income. The VA pays the difference between the veteran's income and the maximum annual pension rate. For example, John, a single veteran, has income from Social Security of $16,500 a year and a pension of $12,000 a year from his job. So his total income is $28,500 a year. He pays $20,000 a year for home health care, $1,122 a year for Medicare, and $1,788 a year for supplemental insurance. So his total expenses are $22,910. Subtracting his medical expenses from his income, which is $28,500 minus $22,910, John's countable income is $5,590. Therefore, John could qualify for $12,644, which is $18,234 minus $5,590 in aid in attendance benefits. You can receive our free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by calling our office at 609-823-4900 or by emailing me at mike@elderlawyer4u.com. That's M-I-K-E at E-L-D-E-R-L-A-W-Y-E-R-F-O-R-Y-O-U.com. The Life Care Planning Booklet provides the information that you need to ensure your future security. We'll be right back to continue our discussion of the most asked questions after this short message.
The law firm of Michael Weinraub concentrates in the area of elder law. The practice involves the use of a life care plan. The life care plan places special emphasis on issues surrounding a long life. Michael Weinraub works with seniors and their families who are overwhelmed or confused by all the decisions they have to make planning for their future. He offers a free monthly email newsletter featuring various elder law articles, which you can obtain either by going to his website at www.elderlawyerforyou.com, emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900. You can also obtain a free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900.
Attorney Michael Weinraub back with you on the Elder Law Report, and it's my pleasure to talk to you each Sunday morning about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning, so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Let's wrap up our discussion on today's topic, the most asked questions. What tips do you have for preventing identity theft? That's a question I'm always asked about. It has always paid to be careful with your personal information. But it is more important today than ever. As the old saying goes, just because you are paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. Well, these days, the cyber thieves may really be out to get you or your financial identity. I have a few suggestions for you. First, do not sign the back of your credit cards. Instead, put photo ID required. Just print right on the signature line, photo ID required. Next, when you are writing checks to pay your credit card amounts, do not put the complete account number on the four or memo line. Instead, just put the last four numbers. The credit card company knows the rest of the credit card number, and anyone who might be handling your check as it passes through all of the check processing channels will not have access to it. Put your work phone number on your checks if you insist on listing your phone number instead of your home phone. If you have a P.O. box, use that instead of your home address. If you do not have a P.O. box, you can use your work address. Never have your Social Security number printed on your checks. You can write it in if someone really needs it, although these days most merchants should not need it at all. If you have your Social Security numbers printed on your check, anyone can get hold of that Social Security number. Place the contents of your wallet on a copy machine. Copy both sides of each license, credit card, and anything else that you have in your wallet. That way you will know what you had in your wallet and all of the account numbers and the necessary phone numbers if you need to call and cancel any of those cards. Keep the photocopies in a safe place. When you travel with your passport, you should also carry a photocopy of the passport. We have been told that we should cancel our credit cards immediately, but the key is having the toll-free numbers and your credit card account numbers handy so you know who to call. Keep them where you can find them. Usually, the numbers are printed on the back of the credit card or on the statement. But if the credit card is stolen, then you'll want to have the information handy. Not all creditors and credit reporting bureaus respond appropriately when they are given the correct information. If they don't comply with the law, you should consider contacting a consumer law expert. Also, file a police report immediately in the local area where your credit cards or wallet was stolen. This proves to the credit card providers that you were diligent, and it is a first step towards a complete investigation. Also, call the three national credit reporting organizations immediately to place a fraud alert on your name, and also call the Social Security Fraud Line. The alert means that any company that checks your credit knows your information was stolen, and they have to contact you by phone to authorize new credit. Here are the numbers that you need to contact if your wallet or credit cards have been stolen. For Equifax, call 1-800-525-6285. For Experian, call 1-888-397-3742. For TransUnion, call 1-800-680-7287. And for the Social Security Fraud Line, call 1-800-269-0271. Now, what is Medicaid, and how does it differ from Medicare? Medicare is a federal health insurance program for people age 65 or older, under age 65 with certain disabilities, and any age with end-stage renal disease. Most people get their Medicare health care coverage in one of two ways: the original Medicare plan that most of us have, or a managed health care plan similar to an HMO. Your costs vary depending on your plan, your coverage, and the services that you use. Medicare is divided into four parts. Part A covers hospital care. Part B covers physician and outpatient services. Part C is the HMO alternative that covers the same thing as Parts A and B. And Part D is the prescription drug benefit. You can also purchase privately a Medigap or a Medicare supplement policy that fills in the gaps or copays in both Parts A and Part B coverage. Medicare is a federal entitlement program, meaning both rich and poor alike are eligible for Medicare if they are over age 65 and are entitled to receive Social Security benefits or come under one of the previously mentioned exceptions. Even if you are not covered by Social Security, you may buy your way into the Medicare program. With reference to long-term care, Medicare covers only acute care in a hospital, medically necessary care in a nursing facility or at home. It should be noted that these benefits involve large copays and have limited coverage. Medicaid is a federal and state program based on need with stringent financial eligibility requirements. Unlike Medicare, when dealing with long-term care, Medicaid covers custodial care in a nursing home. Custodial care includes assistance with eating, bathing, toileting, transferring from bed to the chair, and dressing, which are what we refer to as activities of daily living. To qualify for Medicaid, you must be a resident of the United States who is either a citizen, a lawfully admitted alien, or otherwise permanently residing in the United States under color of law. You must be a resident of the state of New Jersey. You must be over age 65, blind, or disabled to be eligible for Medicaid. The resource limits are $2,000 for an individual and $3,000 for a married couple when both apply for benefits. Under New Jersey's Medically Needy program, the resource limit is increased to $4,000 for an individual and $6,000 for a married couple. Resources are cash and any other asset, including real or personal property, that an individual can convert to cash. The key to eligibility is whether or not a resource is available. A resource is available when a person has a right to liquidate it. Unavailable resources are resources that the applicant cannot convert to cash. Only countable resources are considered in determining Medicaid eligibility. Non-countable assets include one automobile, the family home, but only if it is occupied by the Medicaid applicant or the community spouse, property used in a trade or business, property used for self-support or employment, personal effects and household goods up to $2,000, wedding and engagement rings, medical devices, and life insurance with a total face value of $1,500 or less, or term insurance, regardless of the value. Medicaid law provides for the pooling of the couple's total resources and allows the community spouse to retain a community spouse resource allowance, which is the portion of the total assets, as a protection against impoverishment. Please keep in mind that even from the assets that are excluded, the Medicaid Estate Recovery Unit may come back against the estate to recover payments made to a Medicaid recipient after the death of the recipient and their spouse if they are married. Because of this pitfall, it is important to discuss these issues with a qualified elder law attorney who can properly advise you on the current Medicaid laws. For Medicaid eligibility, an individual must meet the income test as well. New Jersey has an income cap of 300% of the SSI benefit rate. The income of the Medicaid applicant is the only income that counts toward the cap. The income of the community spouse is not deemed to be available to the institutionalized spouse for the cost of care. The community spouse is also entitled to a monthly minimum maintenance needs allowance, which comes from the income of the institutionalized spouse. As they say, please do not try this at home. You need to consult a qualified elder law attorney to advise you on the Medicaid qualification rules as well as other long-term care issues. Now don't forget, you can receive our free monthly email elder law newsletter by calling our office at 609-823-4900 or by visiting our website, www.elderlawyer4u.com. That's ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. Or our free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by calling our office at 609-823-4900 or by emailing me at mike@elderlawyer4u.com. That's M-I-K-E at ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. The Life Care Planning Booklet provides the information that you need to ensure your future security. If you have any questions about life care planning or any other questions about estate planning, Medicaid planning, or any other elder law topic, please call or email me with your questions. Simply visit our website, www.elderlawyer4u.com. That's ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. Or you may call our office at 609-823-4900. And if you have any ideas or suggestions for future programs, please let us know that too. Thank you for listening, and please join us next Sunday and every Sunday morning, same time, same station, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning for the Elder Law Report right here on AM 1340, Classic Oldies, WMID.
You have been listening to the Elder Law Report, hosted by Life Care Planning and Elder Law Attorney Michael Weinraub, South Jersey's foremost authority in the important areas of elder law, Medicaid, and estate and life care planning. You can reach the Elder Law offices of Michael Weinraub anytime by phone at 609-823-4900 and on the web at their informative website, www.elderlawyerforyou.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for another edition of the Elder Law Report. All of the information presented in this program is general in nature and does not constitute legal advice for any one individual. Please do not act upon this information without consulting an elder law attorney. The proceeding has been a paid program from Michael Weinraub, attorney at law.